Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ryan Giordano, and our guest today is Brian Sager, who's a member of the McHenry County Board and the former three-term mayor of the city of Woodstock. Brian's joining us today to give us some insight into what's going on in the county. Brian, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, Ron.
Well, you're quite welcome. All right, sir, the show is yours. What do you got going on in the county or you want to tell the folks about?
Well, there's a lot of things going on kind of around the area. One of the first things that we think about right now is that this is just the completion of our budget process, as it is for those governments that have kind of a more of a calendar year, fiscal year approach. And so we did just pass the budget for McHenry County that is going to be effective then for this coming fiscal year. And I'm pleased to say that we do have a balanced budget. We are fortunate here in McHenry County that we are one of very few counties in the state of Illinois that has been incredibly fiscally responsible and has a very, very fine financial situation and record. And we are able to do that thanks to, of course, the support of so many of our fine residents and businesses that make it possible for us to continue to have the revenue that we need to provide the services that are expected.
The folks are wondering why there's so many units of local government. Brian, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. The fact of the matter is that Illinois has the largest number of units of local government of any state in the United States. And I don't think that's a surprise to everybody because everybody looks at your tax bill and you say, my goodness, what are all these different things on it? You know, Ron, when I was the mayor of Woodstock, I would get calls after the tax bills would come out. And of course, people were concerned about their tax property rate.
Right.
And I understand that it is a concern for all of us. And those of us who are in elected positions, we do try to be incredibly cognizant of the taxes that are imposed upon individuals. But one of the things that people don't understand is that there truly are different jurisdictions. One of the comments that you would get quite frequently in the mayor's office was the fact that, well, I see here it says Woodstock Unit School District 200. So
right.
Woodstock is there. Woodstock Fire and Rescue Department. So Woodstock is there. Woodstock Municipality, of course. And people assume that because the name Woodstock is there, therefore any given municipal entity is responsible for all those taxes. Well,
right.
That's just not the way it is. Each of these are different taxing bodies as approved either by the state of Illinois, such as public education, or by referendum that has been passed by the community members. And so here in the state of Illinois, of course, we have many statutory units of government. That includes the county, that includes your townships, that includes things like drainage districts, which people don't always understand. And we also have the opportunity for library districts and, of course, school districts, etc. So the list goes on and on. There are things, though, that people pass because they decide that that's what they need in the community. An example of that in the city of Woodstock before was the fact that we also have a certain amount of financing that is required to pay off the, and it has been paid off now, but this is just an example, pay off the aquatic center in the city of Woodstock. People voted to have that added to the community by referendum, and so therefore you have to pay that off then, and that revenue is going to be generated on the tax bill. And so that's one of the things that we have to recognize is that, yes, there are a lot of different units of government that do impact us here in the state of Illinois. Again, more units than any other state in the United States. But it's important to realize and understand that here in the state of Illinois, we also ask for or we require certain services for our population. I'm pleased to say that here in McHenry County, we have one of the finest reputations, not only for having good, solid, fiscal, responsible approaches, but at the same time, we also have some of the highest quality services of any county in the state of Illinois. So I'm very pleased with that. People have a right to and demand, appropriately so, quality of services. And so I'm very pleased with that. Our fire rescue, for example, in McHenry County is superb. Our sheriff's department is superb. Our mental health programs are superb compared to so many other counties in the state of Illinois.
And Brian, the tax bite, isn't that primarily related to the school districts? Have the bigger share.
Yes, it is very true. And I don't think any of us want to see us having a less than stellar educational system. You know, in fact, quality educational systems is one of the top interests of people that are looking for new places to live. They want to see what the educational system is. And the fact of the matter is that that costs money. And it's, you can't say it generally for everybody, but in our area, generally the public school district property tax bill is about 60% of your total bill.
Mm-hmm. How does the county board interact with the elected county officials, Brian?
Yeah, that's very important. It's a jurisdictional type of thing. We have elected county officials, and that would include such individuals as the sheriff. It includes the county board chair. It includes the auditor. It includes the circuit clerk, executive director, or the circuit clerk of the court. We also have our county clerk. And all of those offices are statutory offices, which are declared, if you will, by the state statutes. The only one that's not is the county board chair, and that was determined by referendum for us to move in that direction here in McHenry County. And those individuals have autonomy when it really comes to operating their areas of jurisdiction, and the county board has no authority over that. County board, as an elected body, is responsible for one element that is associated with those elected officers, and that is that they are responsible for the financing and the funding. And so each of those statutory officers would submit a request for budgeting on an annual basis, and then the county board discusses that with them and makes a determination to the propriety of that budget as we put together the collective budget for the county.
Brian, can you explain to the folks, I know that recently you had an adjustment for the gas tax, how that works, the reason for it, and why that was implemented, so people understand what the purpose was. It just wasn't done arbitrarily.
Right. It's a difficult thing for all of us anytime that we go to a store or we go to the gas pump or wherever and we see that there's an increased fee or an increased tax rate. No individual wants to see taxes and fees going up. We understand that. But we also know that we do not appreciate it if our roadways are not in good conditions and we have dramatically damaged roadways through potholes. And believe me, none of us like potholes because that can create a lot of problems for us in terms of damaging our automobiles. And it is truly, truly a terrible situation if you don't keep the maintenance up to date, because then the road deteriorates faster and we ultimately have to replace totally those roadways. And that costs a lot more money than maintaining them on a routine basis. So that's something that we all expect, is good passable roadways. Another very, very important element is that we expect safe bridges. And this has been more and more and more in the news lately. We have bridges that are over 100 years old that need to be improved in order to be able to maintain longevity on one hand, but also to make sure that they are safe and that we don't have tragedies as been experienced in some other parts of the state, Minnesota, for example. We have to make sure that we have safe roadway, safe bridge passage. It costs a lot of money to pay for that. And right. The costs have gone up significantly over the past several years because the cost of all of the inputs associated with that construction work. And of course, labor also has gone up as well. And so in order to be able to maintain and to make those improvements on 100-year-old bridges, we had to have more income. Rather than putting that on the tax property level, property tax levy, and making people pay higher property taxes, we went to a fee basis. A fee basis is anybody that buys gas, that uses the roadways, are going to help to assist to that and help to keep the roads in property maintenance. That means not only McHenry County residents, but other people that pass through.
I have two questions associated with it. The first one is, how much are we getting from the Infrastructure Act to help with the roads and bridges? And the second part is, what happens as EV population grows?
Right. With regards to the financing associated with incoming dollars, we are always looking for incoming dollars from two different sources. One of these is from the federal government, of course, and the second is from the state. The federal government passes their dollars basically through the states, and so we do have a certain amount of money that comes from the federal government that assists us, as well as the states, in terms of certain improvements, like Route 47, for example, here in Huntley area. That was improved by some state funding, but it also required other funding to assist with that as well. Same thing as we go through Route 47, through Woodstock, etc. So both of those areas are sources of revenues. But it's very important to understand that there is no single, quote-unquote, kind of silver bullet for anything. It's never enough money when it comes to infrastructure because of the high maintenance costs and because of the huge amount of new construction costs or replacement construction costs. And so it's part of the revenue pool, but we still have to rely upon, and appropriately so, in my mind, appropriately so, the users of the area. We have more users here in McHenry County because of our population versus a county like Henderson County or way down south in Richmond County or something like that, right, where they don't have the type of population we have. And so we put a lot of usage on the roads. The other thing I have to say is that people say, well, I go to Missouri and I don't see, the bad roads like we have up in our area. Well, Missouri happens to be in a different climatic area or zone. We are in the worst possible zone that we can have. And the reason is, if you're farther north in Wisconsin, it's cold and frozen the whole time, and you don't have that thawing that affects the roadway. In our area, we also don't live far enough south like they do in Missouri or down in my part of the state of Illinois and southern Illinois around Mount Vernon. The winters aren't that bad. You know, so you get an inch of snow or 2 inches of snow, it's gone in 2 days, 3 days, something like that. And so we don't have that freeze-thaw cycle that we have here in this part of the state of Illinois. That creates a lot of problems.
We're going to pause for 1 minute to remind everyone you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We're visiting with Brian Sager, who's a member of the McHenry County Board, former mayor of Woodstock. And we're talking about infrastructure and roads and bridges and a lot more things we're going to get to. Brian, it's ironic that you should say that, because look at today, it's 50-something, tomorrow 56, and Saturday 38. So there you go. I want to ask you about the RTA board.
Right. Here in the state of Illinois, we have an RTA board, which is the Regional Transportation Authority Board for Chicago Transit Systems. And the transits include the Metra, or the rail line that goes out to the suburban area, the CTA, or the Chicago Transportation Lines, which is more associated with the urban area, and then we also have the PACE program, which is the bus service in both the urban area as well as in the suburban areas, and then we also have handicapped accessibility services associated with PACE. Those systems are all independent systems as established by the state of Illinois to provide transit within the northeastern Illinois corridor. But the state also established what's called the RTA, or the Transportation Authority, for that, which is the umbrella organization over the other service boards of Metra, CTA, and PACE. And our job is twofold. It is to provide financial oversight, which is required for those transit systems, and then in addition to that, to provide for the legal parameters, if you will, of policy making for those entities. And so we work together with those other boards as a unit to provide the transit systems that we expect in a growing urban suburban area.
Now, I know they talk about the expansion of the train yard in Woodstock and more trains and possibly a train coming through Huntley. Where is that in the future as far as how that goes, Brian?
Right. There are two different issues, and I want to kind of separate those. One is the system of the RTA and Metra looking at a rail yard northwest of Woodstock along what we call the Lamb Road Corridor. And the purpose of that would be able to provide parking, overnight parking function on one hand, but in addition to that, very importantly, which does not exist in Crystal Lake right now, that's where the parking is overnight in Crystal Lake downtown, but they don't provide service and maintenance efforts there. The rail yard in proposed in northwest of Woodstock would include the maintenance and service element as well. So that would be one thing that's very important, is taking that service rather than having to go down to closer areas of Chicago. We'd bring that service element for a portion of this line out
means
to Woodstock.
Means jobs, too, at the same
and it
time.
Means jobs, absolutely. The other thing, too, is that if we move that function of parking itself from Crystal Lake, that opens up Crystal Lake downtown, which Crystal Lake as a municipality is interested in. The other thing that it does is it improves dramatically the schedule for trains from the Woodstock area. So right now we have a certain schedule, but if we were able to adopt, if you will, the Crystal Lake schedule, it's just more frequency of trains providing service. And as we look to downtown Woodstock, for example, we know that we have a lot of residential opportunities within basically a block and a half of the square and the metro station. And that's going to provide opportunities, I think, for new residents to have a walkable community that provides transit system right there in the backyard.
And how about Huntley, that proposal?
Yeah, that's a different situation. And the proposal there is for a passenger line, not a commuter line. Metra from Harvard down to Ogilvie Station is a commuter line.
Okay.
And we have a number of those commuter lines in the system, Metra system and under the RTA. But we also are looking at, from the governor's interest and from the Build Illinois efforts of the governor and others in the state legislature, to increase our passenger services. There was just something in the news just yesterday and today about improving service down to the Springfield area, that we have some problems right now because of our rail lines with Burlington Northern, for example, and other major rail lines like Union Pacific, where they're not only taking care of passengers, but they're taking care of freight. And so it gets to be a little bit complicated.
And people don't realize that freight has the right of way.
Freight has the right of way, absolutely. And so the state is wanting to improve that route between Springfield and Chicago, and they also want to establish a solid route between Rockford and Chicago, and to have that. And so that's what this system is. It's a passenger system, and the idea is that they're looking at about two different trains every day from Rockford down to Chicago and back. And so that would provide for that opportunity. The governor is very excited about this, and he is very, very interested in promoting this. And there have been some public hearings recently. You've probably heard about that. They were held here actually in Huntley, one not too terribly long ago. And there is an interest to push that forward to the point that they're talking about a 2027 construction and opening on that. Right now, what it means is to connect some rails that already exist, improve those rails, and then add some stations. And they're looking at a station here in Huntley, and they're looking at a station in Belvedere and in Rockford as a county municipal collection of governments. We're also encouraging with the legislature to add one in Marengo as well. So that is something that we are hoping through the McHenry County Council of Governments to be able to achieve.
Do you see that converting into high-speed rail?
I think that we're going to have a very, very long-term goal of moving to high-speed rail. I don't think that that one is going to be high speed in the initial stages. And one of the reasons is because, again, we're going to be using current existing lines, and I think it would take a lot more improvement to make that happen on one hand. But the other thing, too, is that I'm not sure the demand is there for high-speed rail there. There's a great, much greater demand for high-speed rail in other areas.
What does it look like for Route 47 expanding to four lanes all the way to Woodstock from Huntley?
Right now, there are significant efforts, again, by the McHenry County Council of Governments to see the improvements completed from Huntley all the way to Woodstock, in fact, 120 in Woodstock. And so we continue to push that. You know that there's some intermediary improvements. I mean, the significant improvements were made from the interstate all the way up to Reed Road here in Huntley.
Right.
And then there's kind of a gap. And then we see the construction that's going on right now at the intersection of Route 47 and 176. And rather than having an intersection at 176 South or to the east and 176 North or to the west, they want to combine that into one intersection. And so that work is going on right now. And just north of that, of course, significant improvements on a bridge that needed to take place. And so all of that is kind of going on as stepping stones to moving some long-term improvements. It's going to take a while. I want to be honest about it. It's going to take a while. It took us truly 15 years to work with the legislature and the Department of Transportation to get improvements approved from Route 14 in Woodstock to Route 120. And those improvements haven't started yet. They're approved. We trust and we hope that phase two is going to be completed with not only engineering but land acquisition, so that actually we hope that by 2005 at the latest, construction can actually begin there. But it just takes a huge amount of time, of course, in addition to dollars. And so it's coming. I would say that 10 years is not out of the question at all.
Okay. Okay. I was hoping you'd say like next year, but yeah, I guess that's not the question.
We all would like to have that too, but it's just not going to happen.
So now your budget for the McHenry County Board, you approve your budget in December?
Yes.
And that's...
We approve it in November.
In November?
Actually. We approved
okay.
it.
And then what happens in December as far as the board, overall, do you have any budget considerations for approval in December at all?
No. We have approved the budget for this coming fiscal year. And what happens then is that as we have adjustments or additional needs that might arise or something that comes up, maybe like today, for example, at the Finance Committee meeting, we were pleased to hear that we'd received additional grant funds from the state for one of the programs that we were planning on funding. And so that it was like an extra $1 million+. And so what happens is that we have to go through what we call a supplemental process. And so you have to kind of go through and say, okay, we're going to adjust our budget because we now either have this additional set of revenue funds, or we are in need of more revenue. And so we've got to take it from Peter and then pay Paul.
Well, isn't that way of life, though,
it
overall?
It is, absolutely.
We got a few minutes left here, and I wanted to have the folks listen to you and tell them about your job responsibilities as a member of the McCounty Board. I mean, you've got a lot that you have to take care of, and some things that you have to think about that it's just not going in there sitting down and saying, oh, yeah, I'm here, and let's go and pass a bill. There's more to it than that.
Right. It is very, very interesting, and I found a little bit of a change between the cities because everybody has a different organizational structure. Even cities have different organizational structures or the way that they've been established under the state statutes. In the city of Woodstock, we have advisory commissions. As you well know, you are a strong member and the chair of our police commission and fire and police commission, it's called. And so you have meetings to do that. On the county board, we don't have those types of commissions. We do have some committees or commissions that are out there for certain types of things, but they're different. The county board members themselves are on various committees. And so most board members serve on 2 to 3 committees and then have a liaison responsibility with one of those other groups that I just mentioned. And so I serve on the Finance Committee. I also serve on Law and Government Committee. And I also serve on the Transportation Committee. And so we have two board meetings a month, and we have three committee meetings. And so it kind of keeps you engaged there. Now, between the times that we're looking at those things, of course, our job is to connect with our residents and our member municipalities. And so I represent, along with Lou Ness, represent District 7, which is kind of I call it the donut hole in Square County. So that's kind of what we have, Wonder Lake and Greenwood and Woodstock. That's where we are. And we look to work with our residents as much as possible.
Well, we want to thank Brian Sager for joining us today. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com and click on Contact Us for more information. And we're going to have Brian back again because he's just a wealth of knowledge here. And he'll tell us more about what's going on and maybe some insight into some new things that are coming up that we don't know about. And he'll be our inside contact for giving us that information and letting us know. So, Brian, thank you for joining us today. We thank you for coming, and thank you, folks, for listening. Have a great day.